The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Investigating and reporting on government corruption and overreach, national security, national and international issues. You're listening to Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. on the TNT Radio Network. We've got some very interesting subjects this hour to discuss. You'll want to hear all of them. First off, we're going to talk about the Chinese spy balloon is in the news again. This is not shocking to those of us who spent years in the 1990s and early 2000s following Chinese espionage against the United States. Wall Street Journal has this report. The Chinese spy balloon that floated over the United States earlier this year was loaded with American-made equipment that helped it collect photos, videos, and other information, U.S. officials said, citing preliminary findings from a closely held investigation. Yeah, I wonder why it's closely held. If it was a real investigation, it would reveal who is the source of this American technology, how China got its hands on it. We'll get into that in just a moment. Several defense and intelligence agencies, along with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, have analyzed the debris, according to the Wall Street Journal, retrieved after the U.S. military detected and shot down the balloon nearly 5 months ago in an event that added fresh, unexpected volatility to the already fraught U.S.-China relationship. Now, if you notice, President Biden is already downplaying the Chinese event, already claiming that it is not wasn't a big deal, wasn't a huge deal at all, according to Biden. And, it was just a little misunderstanding, basically, is what he's trying to say. The analysis found that the balloon was loaded with commercially available U.S. gear, some of it for sale online, and interspersed with more specialized Chinese sensors and other equipment to collect photos, videos, and other information to transmit to China. The official said those findings, they said, support a conclusion that the craft was, in fact, picking up signals. It's called telemetry. All over the United States, you have military bases communicating information to one another. And this spy balloon could not only take video and pictures of what was taking place on these sensitive military bases, but it was also able to listen to communications. Now, those are encrypted communications, of course. However, just picking up those encrypted communications, they can later at some other time break the code and figure out what was being transmitted, that kind of data. Now, they're saying that it's dual-use technology, basically saying that it was commercial technology. There is more than that. We can tell you that during the 1990s, during the Bill Clinton presidency, he was decontrolling, that is, making sensitive, high-tech military technology used for our most efficient electronic spying, our most valuable technology that we use for defense capabilities and weapon systems. He was decontrolling it to communist China in the 90s while they were pouring illegal donations into his reelection campaign and in some cases putting money in his pocket. And the Clintons were paid well after they left office, after Bill Clinton left office in 2001. He was paid well for several speeches he gave in China, and they were significant donors to some of his so-called charity work, as they like to call it. This is remarkable. And in the 1990s, I reported many times that this technology would be used against the United States in the future. And it's actually, this isn't the first time. It's been taking, been going on for over 20 years. China has weakened the United States' own ability to produce high-tech weapon systems by attacking environmental issues and having Democrats on their payroll, apparently, in some cases, attacking U.S. mining issues where we produce sensitive and critical U.S. weapons technology that are used in these components. And then China takes over the world supply of these critical exotic materials such as lanthanides, rare earth minerals, neodymium, iron, boron, which are critical to stealth technology, missile technology, guidance systems, all sorts of a whole series of weapon systems. China shuts down our ability by sponsoring certain politicians in the United States. And in the 1990s, it was Bill Clinton and some others. And then they control the world market. And when the United States is at war, they shut down our ability to purchase. Now, these lanthanides that are used in critical weapon systems, for example, the JDAM, during the war on terror, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, we relied heavily on what's called JDAMs. These are special guided bombs that we used. And during that time, it relies on a substance smelted in a certain order, neodymium, iron, boron. And during that time, China shut down exports of neodymium, iron, boron. Now, we used to, up in the 1990s, we produced neodymium, iron, and boron, neodymium and boron, two critical rare earth minerals, lanthanides, domestically in the United States. And we not only supplied provided almost the entire world supply. The United States did. Then comes along a freshwater spill in the Mojave Desert, and Democrats used that to shut down this mine that provided not only all of the U.S. supply of lanthanides, but 85 to 92% of the world's lanthanides. We shut the mine down and began importing them from China. I actually interviewed the representative of the Baotou rare earth mine in the late 90s about what he was doing. It was very revealing. In fact, if you follow us at NewsCap Group, I will post that documentary later today. We'll have that documentary. It's called Trading with the Enemy. We'll post that documentary at our Twitter site. Follow us at NewsCap Group. And we'll post that. You can watch it for free. It's shocking. But what you'll see is that during that time, they shut it down. And then when we were dropping JDAMs and required a resupply of neodymium and boron, China shut down our access to it because we had shut down our own access and were buying it from them. And they decided in 2004, 2005 timeframe to shut down our access. Now we're seeing some of the same high technology, weapon technology being used to spy on the United States. This is shocking. And what was even more shocking to me was to hear Democrats talk about Russia collusion. It just is amazing. And it's hard to believe. It is simply hard to believe that this could happen. All right, that is in a nutshell. This is self-destruction. There's really no other word for it. And it is being done with the full endorsement of the United States, of the Democrat Party, essentially. That's who's behind it. Now, coming up here, we're going to speak with a former New York City police officer who has been accused of, was fired, lost his job because he was fired for an association with Roger Stone, an advisor to President Trump and a longtime political operative. We're going to talk about what happened to Sal Greco. According to one, to Gothamist, they say a New York City Police Department officer accused of moonlighting as a bodyguard for Roger Stone during the January 6th quote unquote insurrection has been terminated, a police spokesperson confirmed. Salvador Greco, a member of the citywide traffic task force, was found guilty on multiple counts following a department trial, according to a copy of the decision shared with the Gothamist. He was terminated by police commissioner Keychant Sewell. And so, Mr. Greco, welcome to Through the Looking Glass. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
How the Gothamist story, obviously a left-wing publication, but were you moonlighting as a bodyguard for Roger Stone?
That is false. And this could be summed up real quick, actually. I had a 14-year career at the NYPD. I have an unblemished record. I have over 50 medals. I've had over 320-plus arrests. I've been involved in 1,000 arrests. I have an immaculate record in the courts. I've never lost a case. Along the way, someone in the New York City Police Department was irked at the fact that I am friends with Roger Stone. I became friends with Roger Stone. And they started what was a 19-month witch hunt. I had to go through two interrogations. They were following me around as if I was Juan Pablo Escobar. Then I ended up in a Soviet-style show trial, the administrative trial I had. And ultimately, I was terminated in August of 2022. And then I ended up in a litigation that I'm in right now with the city of New York and the New York City Police Department. Now, I saw you mentioned the part about the moonlighting thing, but that's the uncompensated security charge is a joke. What you really need to look at is the rule that they stated that this is a patrol guy procedure, which, by the way, there's no exceptions to this rule, and every rank from police commissioner down must follow. If you cannot wrongfully and knowingly associate with someone who's likely to have engaged in or engaged in criminal activity, for that reason, they're stating that I am friends with Roger and he's a criminal and everything else that they want to put on me. The problem here, though, a few months ago, they invited Cardi B to the police academy, and Cardi B was hobnobbing with every officer, taking pictures, being ushered around a secure police facility. Cardi B has a record. She's also a known gang member, and she's been very adversarial to the police department. So the question then goes back to the NYPD. Why is Cardi B allowed to hobnob with the NYPD, but I can't be friends with Roger Stone? Then they had a motion to dismiss. They put it in the case now very recently. There's a second motion to dismiss. They say I bizarrely claim this and that there's a court order. She was court ordered to the NYPD Police Academy. That would be false because they're defrauding the court. Eric Adams came out and had a press conference. Eric Adams is the mayor of New York and a former police captain. He stated that she was invited to the police academy and that we also don't discard people. But Eric, you discarded me and you're discarding Roger. So which one is it, Eric? Because it seems to be that you're the arbiter of truth here, because the police commissioner was asked about this and I presented this. This is all in my rebuttal. She stated to the Daily News, the police commissioner, that she had no idea about her coming to the police academy. So then there's a breakdown in structure, as you've been reading. That's why she's resigning. So it has to be that someone in either Eric Adams' office or Eric Adams himself allowed this to occur. So you're allowing a criminal to come to the police academy. That's the way this looks. That's the optics here. So
let me ask you a question. In many police departments across the country, they have a shortage of officers. They're actually so as in Washington, D.C., for example, they're changing their standards constantly to allow to lower the threshold for people who can become police officers because of a shortage. And part of it is because of the attacks on the police departments in general from the left and people like, as you point out, Cardi B, a rap artist, so-called rap artist. I would use that term artist very loosely in this case. Is there a shortage of police talent in New York City?
Well, of course there is. But here's your problem. You take this job, right? And you're someone like me, because cops are watching and they look and they like to see how other cops are being treated, which is why they despise certain people that are running the place right now. Right now, if you're a cop in New York and you decide to be proactive the way I was, where you take an initiative and you believe that if you, you know, stop a crime from occurring or you're writing someone to summons, it's kind of like a broken windows theory. Somebody's drinking a beer outside. Somebody's in a park lighting a fire. Somebody's leaving their car unattended. You go and try to correct the situation. Whether you write a summons, whether you speak to this person, whatever the case may be. Now, these people make outrageous claims. They take you to what's called a civilian complaint review board. And now your career and your life could be destroyed. You'll have a record of all this stuff that's nefarious on your record, which never really happened. It's just you're doing your job. People are allowed to complain like you've never seen before. They also can sue you. They sue you in arrests. And then there's also that if, let's say, there is any kind of claim and it ends up in the news cycle, well, you're going to be modified or suspended. Or you could be criminally charged with that wonderful DA you have in Manhattan. So if you're a cop, you need to take a step back. And you need to realize the situation and go, do I really want to put my personal health, my future, my family, do I want to put this all on the line to try to do the right thing where the policies here don't say to do the right thing. They just want you to just kind of be there. That's what they really want. They don't want you being proactive. They just want you to sit there pretty and be reactive. Okay, and reactive in the right way, because if for some reason you do something that they don't like, they will now try to destroy your life. That's how it works.
Hold on, Mr. Greco. We're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the police officer shortage in New York City and about Mr. Greco's situation with regards to Roger Stone. There may be more here. And we'll get into that right after this short time out. Do want to remind you again, follow us on Twitter at NewsCap Group, at NewsCap Group. And I will post the aforementioned documentary on one of the documentaries on China technology theft. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on Through the Looking Glass.
You should hear what Dirk Pohlmann is talking about.
The topic is propaganda. What impressed you on the writings of Walter Lippmann? What did you understand writing, listening to him, reading what he wrote?
He really brings the field of epistemology, so how our knowledge comes into our heads. He connects that with mass psychology and how the media works. So he kind of coined the term stereotype, and for him the stereotype for us is kind of a negative feeling about something, but for him a stereotype is just a way to understand the world, how we perceive things out of our in our head. So these stereotypes, so every person we know, every person in the media, for example Vladimir Putin or Angela Merkel, these are stereotypes because none of us really has met them in person, but we have an image in our head, and we have an image of many things like countries we have never been to, but we have an image, and these images get brought to us by media or by experience or by teachers and whatever, and this builds kind of a world in our head. Lippmann calls this the pseudo reality. So no one knows the real reality outside of his head, but everyone has kind of a pseudo reality inside of his head.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places. Magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
This is Through the Looking Glass with Scott Wheeler on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. We're speaking with a former New York City police officer named Sal Greco, and we were talking in the opening segment about a critical shortage of police officers in many cities around the country. Now, part of this has been as a result of a coordinated Democrat Party Antifa attack, Black Lives Matter attack on police units around the country, defunding the police, etc. Police officers perhaps are afraid to do their job. They're afraid to take a job as a police officer because they can be targeted for dismissal or even criminal charges if someone alleges that they use too much force. And we see these cases on the news that often triggers riots and protests around the country. And so we've got a critical shortage of police officers and people willing to go into the police academies and become municipal police officers and state police. We have this critical shortage, and the New York City Police Department fired an otherwise exemplary officer, someone who had actually done serious police work, and was fired because there was a photo appeared of him alongside a former Trump advisor named Roger Stone. And Roger Stone had been convicted of, in the most comedic sense, lying to Congress. That was one of the charges he was convicted of. And it stemmed from the 2016 election, where he made claims that he knew Julian Assange, and when he told the truth to Congress, they said he had already made previous statements that he did know Julian Assange, and he told Congress he didn't, so they charged him with lying to Congress. Very suspicious prosecution, and we covered it at the time. But Mr. Greco was seen in a photograph with Roger Stone and dismissed from the New York City Police Department. And at the time, Stone had been pardoned by President Trump, right, Mr. Greco? So he had actually been pardoned of those crimes for which he was convicted at the time you were seen with him. And that didn't seem to make much difference, did it?
No, it didn't, Scott. Actually, at my trial, in the Soviet-style show trial, the administrative trial, they presented the actual pardon and stated that someone in the DOJ wrote out a whole piece for them that stated that just because Roger Stone is pardoned, that doesn't absolve him of his convictions. So they actually went out of their way to try to state that a pardon means nothing. You're still a criminal in their book.
That is not. But the pardon actually does, though, absolve all those crimes. That's the whole nature of a pardon.
Well, he can still vote. He can own a gun. He could travel the country. But again, they make up the rules as they go along. As you could tell, Scott, you see things right now currently with Hunter Biden, his father, and also the President Trump. You can see how there's rules for thee and not for me. It's a constant drumbeat. So there should be no surprises, nothing different here. They're more irked at the fact that Roger, I'm friends with Roger, and this is really a direct correlation to who? Donald Trump. That's the real target of this whole thing. We don't want you being around Donald Trump. That's what this is about. If there's no Trump in the background, I would have been just another cop with another fugazi case of this. You're associating with someone who's likely to have, and they would have said, okay, here's a couple of vacation days at best, or they just throw it under a rug, just like they did for Eric Adams when he was a cop. So, this is how this works. It's a two-tier justice system.
Now, Mayor Adams, he's now the mayor. He was a former cop, and he actually ran his mayoral campaign on the fact that he was pro-police and he was going to deal with the crime problems. But you're saying Mayor Adams had actually associated with known felons also and was treated differently from you?
That's correct, Scott. It's actually in a couple articles, but there's one by the city. And in this article, Eric Adams, in his own words, admits to being compensated security for, at the time, the convicted felon, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was leaving the prison in Indiana in 1995. Eric Adams was there. Eric Adams was investigated for this. Nothing happened to Eric Adams. Eric Adams was then, again, security and pals with Louis Farrakhan, another convicted criminal, was investigated for that. Nothing happened there. So how is Eric being treated differently than Sal Greco? And your best scenario, the worst one right now, is the fact that allegedly the incoming police commissioner, which I don't know if he's going to take this job with all this attention on him right now, but the first deputy commissioner, Edwin Caban, he's supposed to become the police commissioner, being appointed by Eric Adams. The problem with Edwin Caban is his brother, James, was a police officer in the late 90s. He handcuffed a cab driver. He beat him senseless in the car. He was then arrested and charged, and he was terminated from the NYPD. He ultimately had a hung jury with that case. Many years later, he became what was known as the slumlord of the Bronx. He was convicted of something to do with treating the tenants bad or something like that. He was thrown in jail. So by definition, he's a convicted criminal. So lo and behold, a couple of weeks ago, Edwin is pictured with his brother, who's also pictured with Mayor Eric Adams. So you could also state that Edwin is being uncompensated security for his brother. I mean, you charge me with this stuff. So, Eric, why is it okay for Edwin to be with his brother and you? You're approving this. You're okay in this, but you have a problem with me being friends with Roger. There can be only one standard, Scott. You can't have two different rules, all right? Can't be one rule for Eric Adams and one rule for everyone else. That's the gist of this problem here. It's a lot of hypocrisy. There's also other things that happen, Scott. Like they used the Fugazi administrative subpoena, said I was involved in narcotics when I wasn't, and they accessed someone's sealed record in violation of a court order. You can't do this stuff. You actually violated a court order. You're going against a federal court. And these are things that the NYPD have done for 40, 50 years and ongoing. It's still ongoing today, Scott. So that's why people really need to look at why you want to be a cop and do you want to put yourself in a situation like this. Because if they get away with doing this to me, they're going to do it to the next guy. They're continuing to do this. And they also do this to civilians, Scott, regular people in the street. That violating the court order thing, they had a case against numerous people that they lost. So it doesn't stop. It just, this is the way they run. It's not a well-oiled machine, we'll say.
Well, let me bring that up. You point to something very interesting. We're speaking with Sal Greco, former New York City police officer who was fired for a because he was friends with a Trump Donald Trump associate, and you bring up this interesting case. If a police officer in New York City cannot be treated fairly by the department and by the prosecutor's office, how can the public trust the police to be honest in their dealings with the people they're investigating every day?
That's this is what people are afraid of. You have to, I mean, their hiring standards also have really dropped. I mean, nobody wants to take this job, so they're lowering the standards. And you know, you have cops on the job that have gotten away with DWIs, domestic violence. By definition, they're likely to have engaged in criminal activity, but yet they still have a job. And cops are sitting in the car with people like this. You know, two cops having to work together with one having a record. So this Fugazi rule they have is ridiculous. 70% of America has a record of some sort. So, you know, this terminating somebody for this rule is ridiculous. The only time it's really happened is if you're engaging in a crime. You're helping someone in a criminal sense, not because you may or may not have come into contact with. That's just, you know, now you're going down a road that not even the DOJ wants to go down. And to try to make a criminal case out of it was laughable, because that's what they were trying to do. And no, I have never been to the Capitol. I've never stepped foot in this building. I don't know where it even is in Washington, D.C., but yet they didn't stop them from trying to smear me and make me out to be some insurrectionist. You know, that was a
hold on. Let me ask you this, Mr. Greco. You're saying you were not at the Capitol on January 6th in Washington, D.C. Is that the case? You weren't even there.
No, I've never been there. I was in a hotel room. That's where I was. I was in a hotel room with Roger. And on the 5th, he gave a speech to two legally permitted rallies. I was there at the two rallies with him. We went back to the hotel, and that morning we stayed in the hotel. Everything that unfolded, we watched this on television in the same way the rest of America did, in horror. We didn't know what was going on. And you find out as time goes on, you're hearing about the truth of what really happened. But nobody knew.
I actually covered the riot myself. I don't remember seeing Stone down there. But so let me find out what the basis for this rule about police officers not fraternizing with convicted felons or known criminal elements. There's a reason for this rule, isn't there? The idea is to keep officers above reproach. And yes, they don't want officers cavorting with mob figures that are under investigation, for example. They don't want them taking, they don't want them taking graft from people that could be police, that they could tip off that they're under an investigation, or who's an undercover operative working inside a corrupt criminal enterprise, things like that. That wasn't the case here. This was Roger Stone was convicted of things that had nothing to do with New York City at all, and were basically political white collar crimes. And so, do you believe that this rule about fraternizing with convicted felons was is being abused in order to act out on a political agenda, Mr. Greco?
Scott, I believe the entire case is political in nature, and it's strictly political. I mean, there is nothing criminal that has occurred, had occurred, or was going to occur. That's the whole point here. See, Scott, if the rule says that you can't associate with someone who's likely to have engaged in or engaged in criminal activity, the next sentence should be in commission of a crime or in furtherance of a crime. Because, Scott, like I said, so many people have records. So many people have had something in their past, and we don't discard people, like Eric Adams says. But here we are arbitrarily doing it. And why are we saying this? Because it is political in nature. It has to do with Trump. You saw a guy who's a Trump supporter, and you said, we got to get him. We're just going to smear him. We're going to do whatever we can. We're going to say he's part of all these right-wing groups and all this crazy stuff that was never true. They smear you long enough, people will believe it. And by the time the trial is over, you're already known as some right-wing extremist insurrectionist who's friends with Roger and is a Trump supporter. That's what they want to label you as. Meanwhile, none of this was true. My record's been impeccable on the job, and there was never any crime or any facts to anything that they said. Short of, are you friends with Roger Stone? Yes. That's a fact. Now, you want to start taking up that, because remember, they access people's sealed records. So if I speak to someone who may have done something 15 years ago and has lived a perfect life ever since, why is their past being held against not only themselves, but me? I thought we didn't discard people. So this is the other gist of the conversation, because remember, they used someone's sealed records against me to go get a Fugazi administrative subpoena. Just so you know, they tried to make my case criminal, but they didn't. They then switched it up to administrative, which is illegal. And then they went and got an administrative subpoena by the NYPD, and it stated I was involved in narcotics. This guy, Orenstein, I don't even know how this man is still a cop on the job, because he's got a secondary case where he got these two cops and said that they were in a prostitution ring and transcribed them speaking in Spanish. He said that they were ordering prostitutes when in reality they were looking to hire a dancer for a party. He perjured himself on the stand. Why is he not being held to the same standard that you held my friend to? You said my friend lied to Congress. Orenstein lied not once, but twice on the stand. And then in my trial, he admits that I was not involved in narcotics, nor was he ever suspecting that, and he never dole tested me. So why would you write narcotics? Because he can't get a subpoena without stating a crime. It's not a crime to be a friend of Roger Stone's. So you see where we're at in America.
We're speaking to Salvatore Greco, a former New York City police officer. And Mr. Greco, you referenced the disparity in treatment regarding Hunter Biden and the IRS investigation of him. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about the Hunter Biden situation, because there has been breaking news in the past few days here. You're listening to Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio Network. You can follow us. You can follow this program at NewsCap Group on Twitter, and we're take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the breaking developments in the Hunter Biden, Joseph Biden investigation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more after this.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
A Fox News poll out 2 days ago shows that not only is Donald Trump not losing ground due to his legal troubles, he's gaining ground, putting more distance between himself and the number two Republican in the race, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Last month, Trump had the support of 53% of GOP primary voters. Now he's at 56%, and DeSantis trails at 22%. Trump's lead over DeSantis has grown from 15 points in February to 34 today. And what concerns GOP voters the most? Winning in 2024 is the priority. 70% feel it's extremely important to support a candidate who could beat Joe Biden, while 55% say the same about sharing a candidate's views on issues. As for the other announced GOP candidates, Vivek Ramaswamy at 5%, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, at 4% each, Nikki Haley at 3%, Chris Christie, Larry Elder, and Asa Hutchinson 1% apiece. Yes, buffoon Chris Christie, touted as a hero who will destroy Trump by the leftist media, has 1%. He's a disgrace. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros has supported the election of numerous left-wing DA candidates. Since 2016, when Soros first began to back the campaigns of district attorneys, Capital Research Center researchers have tracked more than $29 million in funding from Soros through political action committees, PACs, formed specifically to back left-wing DA candidates. In total, Soros's cash has generously supported over 20 individual candidates, many of whom won their elections and remain in office. They include Diana Becton, Contra Costa County, California. Becton was one of the first in the position to have no prior experience as a prosecutor. During Becton's first years in office, four Contra Costa cities made the list of the top 100 most dangerous cities in California in 2018, and both violent crime and property crime increased in 2019. Soros has spent a combined $6 million on California DA races, much of it wasted on failed candidates. But almost half was spent on the successful campaign of George Gascon from Los Angeles DA. Since the election, Gascon's implementation of left-wing policies led to a crime wave with soaring homicide rates and increased shoplifting sprees. Kim Fox, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, who's known for her 2019 decision to drop charges against Jussie Smollett for his infamous hate crime hoax, has made headlines for presiding over Chicago's largest spike in homicides in more than 30 years, while her office dropped charges against 30% of felony defendants during 2020.
From national security to global corruption, you're with Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. I have on the line Salvador Greco. He's a former New York City police officer. Right now, I want to talk about some developments in the investigation of the President of the United States, Joseph Biden, and his son, Hunter, because there is just recently new evidence provided by an IRS so-called whistleblower. His name is Gary Shapley. He was part of the investigation of Hunter Biden and made some astounding, truly astounding accusations about the prosecutor who was supposedly investigating this, and the Attorney General Merrick Garland had claimed that it was a totally independent investigation. Well, it turns out, according to Mr. Shapley, it was not independent at all, as we all suspected, because the Justice Department has demonstrated over and over again that it has engaged in very questionable activities with regards to politics. Anyway, Gary Shapley, the IRS, he's an IRS supervisor, supervises 10 agents, and he was involved in the Hunter Biden investigation. And according to the Washington Post, he scoffed that Hunter Biden had paid off his overdue tax bills totaling $580,000 in 2017 and a $620,000 in 2018, saying Hollywood attorney Kevin Morris actually did it for him. Quote, to say he paid is a misnomer, right? Because it was an individual, Kevin Morris, that he met at a campaign finance event. And then he immediately starts giving Hunter Biden money to pay off tax debts to pay living expenses, unquote, Mr. Shapley said in an interview with Fox News anchor Brett Baer. New York Post goes on to say, quote, the money that was given to Hunter Biden by Morris was showed up on his tax returns as a loan to him. So when you have a person that you meet at a campaign finance event, then he's all of a sudden giving you millions of dollars, and now it's a loan to you. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that that subject paid those taxes, unquote. This is according to Mr. Shapley. Court documents filed last week, according to the New York Post, last week by Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss only specified that Hunter Biden, age 53, failed to pay more than $100,000 in taxes each year, for which he agreed to plead guilty to misdemeanors and expected to be punished with probation. Shapley, who led the Hunter Biden tax fraud investigation for more than 3 years, told Bear, quote, "The true number is $580,000. Of failure to pay for 2017. It's under $620,000 for 2018. Yet this document puts it close to $100,000. It's almost as though the Weiss, the independent prosecutor, went out of his way to make Hunter Biden look better in this situation. The actual person they were pursuing, they attempt to make him look better by saying he only owed $100,000 for 17 and $100,000 for 18, when in reality, according to Mr. Shapley, it was over $600,000 and over $700,000, which makes a little more sense because you're talking about several million dollars in income. I don't think anybody else gets away with that 7 or 8% tax rate that makes that kind of money. I don't know of anybody that pays that low of taxes. But going again to the investigation, that doesn't even include the false business expense that he claimed and that the prosecutors refused to charge, Mr. Shapley added. So they're still outstanding. One of the things that Shapley alleged was that Hunter Biden took business expenses for expensive memberships, like tens of thousands of dollars in memberships to private strip clubs, and was writing it off his taxes. Can you imagine that if a Republican tried to do this, or the member of an elected Republican? I have said many times this observation out loud, and that is, if you it takes a third generation rumor to convict a Republican in the media. But if it's a Democrat, 100 eyewitnesses plus videotape is not enough. And that's what we're hearing right now. Even Democrats defending the Bidens on television. Well, there's not enough proof. There's not enough proof. Well, these are whistleblowers who actually investigated this saying it out loud, and Mr. Shapley is not the only one. But we have on the line with us Salvatore Greco, who is actually living proof of that accusation, that all it takes is a rumor to nail a Republican. Mr. Greco was relieved of duties at the New York City Police Department because of being friends with Roger Stone, a former Trump advisor. And Mr. Greco, when you see these allegations and you see the evidence provided by these investigators and whistleblowers about Hunter Biden, what does this tell you about the justice system in the United States? Does it give you a great deal of confidence, or does it make you concerned that we are heading in a very, very bad direction?
Scott, I was a cop for 14 years. I've always believed in the courts and the system, but very slowly everything has changed, especially how I think. You hear things like this and you could clearly tell there's a two-tier justice system, and Hunter Biden is being treated way different than anyone else in this scenario that has had the same exact scenario with themselves. And also, you can look at my own friend with Roger, where this woman on Fox News or whatever on the Five a week ago was saying that Roger should be in prison because of a $2 million tax debt. Now, what happened with Roger is he was paying down his taxes like he was, because he had back taxes from years ago. And then they tried to put him in prison for the rest of his life. He could no longer pay the taxes that he had, the old taxes, not the new one, the debt he had. So he had to, you know, turn around and start getting lawyers. It's either do or die at that point. So it's not that he wasn't paying because it was a crime or he did anything. It's he simply couldn't pay anymore. So they immediately sued him personally after, I believe it was March or April of 2021. And they've been in negotiations and they finally had a deal. But the thing with the deal with him is they normally negotiate down the penalties because they're penalties for not paying him for a certain amount of time. They aren't negotiating anything. They won't negotiate that number down, which is, you know, it's because it's who it is. Anybody else, they would. So
let me point out that you mentioned an important distinction. Hunter Biden used deception to avoid paying taxes. That's real tax evasion. Stone yep. admitted he did not claim he didn't owe the tax money. He just simply asked for an extension in order to pay it because he didn't have money. And substantial difference there. A lot of people find themselves in that situation or paying a tax debt over years. But Stone didn't lie to the IRS about how much money he made. He just simply said, I don't have the money to pay what I actually owe. In the case of Hunter Biden, he used substantial deception to hide money that he spent and claim deductions. This is basically, if we look at the tax code, the way the Democrat Party looks at the tax code, the American people subsidized Hunter Biden's predilection for sex with prostitutes and with strip club memberships. If we are to look at the tax code the way the Democrats do, that would be true. The United States, the Department of Justice has forced the American people to subsidize Hunter Biden's sexual deviancy. It is unbelievable when you look at it in that framework. And that's how Democrats see the tax code. They see the tax code, a tax break, and I'm quoting Barack Obama on this, a tax break for somebody is the same as an expenditure in the federal budget. That's how Democrats view money in general and taxes. So by Hunter Biden writing off illegally, I might add, writing off money he paid to prostitutes and strip clubs, lots of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, he has caused the American people to subsidize his deviancy.
That's correct.
It's shocking.
My biggest problem here is the same, like my case, like Roger's case, and now with Trump's own cases. There has to be one standard. You can't say that one person, if it's one rule and one law, how is that being applied to Hunter Biden, per se, versus the next American citizen or even Roger himself, where you're trying to, he should be arrested because it's $2 million. Hunter Biden owes well past $2 million, and he was trying to scheme his way through things. Roger wasn't scheming. Roger already told him how it was, but he never missed any taxes currently, meaning even if he was during his trial, he paid his taxes. He just couldn't pay the debt for the moment because they were crushing him with legal fees through the trials. So how do you try to destroy one man who didn't do anything? He's not telling you he's not doing anything nefarious versus this guy who's clearly trying to do the end around. Not only the federal government, but all American citizens in general, because he's getting away with doing all these different things and being treated differently. Why is there a two-tier justice system? Why?
That's a great question. And it is a great question, Mr. Greco. We're speaking with Salvatore Greco, former New York City police officer, and on Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. In closing here, I want to point out that Mr. Shapley, the IRS whistleblower, said in a meeting with the prosecutor Weiss, they were informed by Weiss, he said, that they could not charge Hunter Biden with the crimes that they had evidence to substantiate, because the federal prosecutor in California and the district and the U.S. prosecutor in Washington, D.C. refused to prosecute the cases, and he did not have special prosecutor status by the Attorney General Merrick Garland, appointed by Joseph Biden. We are almost out of time. Mr. Greco, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your insight on these matters, and good luck in your litigation against the New York City Police Department. Again, I want to stress, if you want to reach us on Twitter, you can get us at NewsCap Group, at NewsCap Group, and we'll post some interesting things, including the podcast from this broadcast on TNT Radio. Thank you all for joining us. Come back next week for another edition of Through the Looking Glass from Washington, D.C. For TNT Radio, this is Scott Wheeler signing off.